Ronnie Atkins, and you're listening to That Metal Interview Podcast. Stay tuned.
Metal Interview.
Formed in 1981 by Ken Hammer and completed with Ronnie Atkins in 1982, these guys built a badass sound and music, of course, with a band by the name of Pretty Maids. I first heard of Pretty Maids in late 80s, 88, 89, with their badass single and video Future World. And their album is also called Future World. Today we have Ronnie Atkins, vocalist for Pretty Maids, which are on hiatus, as he tells us. So right now he's concentrating on solo albums, and he has a brand new solo album coming out October 13th by the name of Trinity via Frontiers Music SRL. So let's check out one of his newest jams by the name of If You Can Dream It, You Can Do It. Check it out, Ronnie Atkins. Straight out rock and roll, in your face, hard rock. Thank you, Ronnie, for making badass music. If some of you might know, he is battling cancer. So he talks about that also, and where he is at with the treatments and all that stuff. So a big hats off to Ronnie, of course, for being a true warrior in life, battling cancer, of course, and not giving up his career. He's still out there battling the disease, and he's going to be hitting Japan in 2024. So, wow, this is just awesome news. So anyways, right now, let's listen to our interview with the great Ronnie Adkins, frontman for Pretty Maids, and for his solo project. Check it out. We'll be right back. So, first question, new album, Trinity, dropping October 13th, Frontiers Music, SRL. Are you excited for this record, Ronnie?
Well, I guess, you know, it's like every time you put out a new album, you're always excited about the reaction, you know, does the fans like it, and critics and whatsoever, you know. It's like having a new baby, you know.
Right.
But also, it's like when you've written it, when you record it, I mean, that's the whole process that I really enjoy the most, because and then it's like you got a kids having the kids leaving the nest or whatever, you know. But I'm happy about the album. Yes, I am, and I'm always excited to see how the reaction is. It's been a very good reaction so far, from what I've heard, you know, and particularly of the two new singles, you know. But So I am absolutely.
Yeah, I got to listen to it. It's awesome stuff, top to bottom, for sure. My favorite jam is Soul Divine. Can you talk about that song?
That's actually that's a lullaby actually written to my little granddaughter that I had like exactly a year ago, actually, more or less. I wrote it straight after she was born, you know.
Okay.
And you know, that's what I can say. I mean, the song is about her because it was something I didn't see coming, and she's brought me enormous joy. She's a true pleasure to be with. It's fantastic to see her growing up, and as I said, I didn't see that coming. So it's kind of a tribute. It's kind of it's a little lullaby, really. But I like the song a lot. You know, it's very melodic, and there's a good vibe about the song. So I'm happy you like it.
Yeah, I do enjoy it. What's your favorite track? Which is your favorite track? Good question.
It's very difficult to say, because I think the album is a little, it's like all like the other albums also are a little bit mixed. I mean, I'm kind of, I like the heavy stuff, and I like the ballads too, you know. But I think generally overall, maybe the title track, Trinity, which I think has got it all. You know, it's a good combi of what you can expect on the album. But as you said, so of the more commercial songs, I'd probably say Soul Divine. Of the heavier stuff, I'd probably say Godless or something like that, you know. So I think the album has more or less everything that you could expect from what I do, you know, the way I write. So.
Are you the sole lyricist, or does someone pitch in ideas with lyrics and stuff?
No, I'm soul lyricist. I'm the soul songwriter, actually. I'm Chris Laney is helping out, arranging it, stuff like that, you know. So we got a great collaboration. We're on the same page musically, but I basically write all the rough parts, all the verses, bridge, chorus, middle eights, and mimes on melodies and vocal melodies, of course. And I send it to him, and he's so furiously fast on a. He plays a little of everything, you know, like guitar, bass, and program drums. He handles the Pro Tools system very well. And he's got a great set of ears. He knows exactly what I want to do. And sometimes he comes up with a different arrangement that I actually, you know, where the song turned out differently that what I actually intended. But normally it's good. And I say, yeah, well, I didn't hear it this way, but this works. So cool. But the chords and the melodies and stuff I sent to him.
Yeah, Chris, for people that don't know, Chris is a member of Pretty Maids.
He was a keyboard player. He is the keyboard player. Now, Pretty Maids is on our hiatus right now, right? Or has been. But he was, yeah. And then he was doing this project called At the Movies, which is was something we did during the lockdown, that he did during the lockdown with a lot of Swedish musicians, you know. And they're basically the basic group playing on my records, you know, because the whole thing started by them. We couldn't meet or anything at that time, you know, as well as me. And they did this these cover albums where they covered 80s music, film soundtracks and stuff, like famous movies from films in the 80s. One of them was Tina Turner's
We Don't Need Another Hero, which I sang on. And that was actually the first song I recorded after I got diagnosed with cancer and went through a lot of treatments and stuff like that. So, and that's the first song, where, the first time I actually realized that the pipes are still working, you know, because they didn't work probably for half a year or something, because I was coughing all the time and stuff like that. So that's how we started the whole thing, you know, that he said, I've got all these ideas. I mean, send me your ideas, man, and we'll look at it and I'll try to make a demo. And that's how we work. And that's the way we work today, actually. Same thing.
Yeah, for sure. When it comes to a new song, Ronnie, what comes first to your mind? A riff, a melody, or do lyrics just pop into your mind, or what comes first?
It depends a little bit. Sometimes I'm sitting fiddle around on the piano or with the guitar, you know. On this album, you know, there's some of the heavier songs where you could say that the riff actually more or less came first. But I always record when I have an idea for a verse or a hook line, a top line for a chorus or anything. And then I listen to what I got and say, hey, this I could use for this song, you know, stuff like that. But most of the times I think the melody comes in my head. And then I meet, and if I have a party downstairs and we have some friends over for dinner or something like that, and we sit eating, and I suddenly get an idea. I always say, hey, excuse me, I've got to go upstairs and get this down, get this on this record. Otherwise, I know it's gone, you know. So it comes in periods, you know. I don't know where it comes from, you know.
Yeah.
Basically. But the lyrics is always normally the last thing that's being written. That's the lyrics. And because it depends very much on the vibe of the song, the mood of the song. And I also write down little pieces of lyrics. If I get an idea and then I use it at some point. Some of them I use, some I don't use, or maybe I'll use it later, you know. Also write down ideas if I got an idea for a good song title or something like that, you know. It always comes in handy when you're in the process of finishing the songs.
Can you, let's say you're bored during the day, and can you force yourself to sit down with a pen and paper and write a song, or do you have to be inspired, or...?
Well, sometimes I have to, you know, because sometimes I'm writing stuff in the very last minute. Actually, some of the last lines are being done in the vocal booth, you know. So yeah. I always, for some reason, have to be under pressure to write lyrics, you know, because I feel like I've written about everything, more or less everything, during the last 40 years, you know. I mean, hey, man, give me a topic, for fuck's sake, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's just, but I write about things now. Of course, the last three albums I've done, they're more personal. First of all, because it's solo albums, but all the stuff that I've been going through the last 4 years with since I had cancer, you start think differently about life,
yeah.
in general, and so it's a bit more personal in that way. And also, I mean, I'm mostly inspired about watching documentaries. I'm very much into history and politics and stuff like that. And I'm a news freak as well, you know. So,
yeah.
So I write about a next album. I write like a song like "Raiding Fire" is obviously about what goes on in the Ukraine, you know. And
yeah, horrible.
Yeah, it is
horrible situation. Yeah,
yeah.
So give us an update on your health. How are you doing?
Well, I'm basically, you know, the diagnosis will never change. You know, it is what it is. You know, when it spreads from where it started to another organ, in my case, the bone marrow from the lungs. But I feel great, man. I just went through some the last scans, and I had answers last week, and it still looked good. I mean, 4 years on, it's at ease. And then I have some sequelae, like some nerve damage, pain in my shoulder and back. And I got some chronic asthma bronchitis, apparently from immune therapy, you know, like a sequelae from that. But that's something, everything comes with a price, you know, and you just got to deal with it, you know. And I got to say here that music has, from day one, music was my savior, you know. It worked like therapy for me to...
Therapy, yeah.
Do what I love the most, you know. And even though it's some heavy issues, some kind of melancholic or kind of tragic issues whatsoever, you know, I try to squeeze in a little bit of optimism into it as well, you know, to give it a positive twist, because that's what it's all about. I mean, we're here, we all got to go at some point, you know.
Yeah.
We go down with a plane or you know, whatever, run over by a truck, you know.
Yeah.
And, you don't talk about that when you feel good and stuff like that, and neither did I. When you get a diagnosis, you start thinking about it. So what I'm trying to say is that you just gotta fucking get the best out of every day, you know, because every day is a gift.
Understood.
You just tend to forget.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, it's a different point of view in life, right? Yeah. Glad you're doing okay. You're doing great. Has the therapy and all that stuff affected your voice? You sound great. I mean...
Yeah, but not really my voice. The only problem is my breathing, you know, asthmatic bronchitis. I just had a period where I coughed a lot, like for 5 weeks or something like that. It's getting better now. I've got some new medicine. But of course, it means that I got to pace myself a little bit, probably on stage, you know. So I lost essentially quite actually 16% of my lung capacity since 2020. They just told me a month ago, and now they want to keep an eye on me and see why it is, you know. But I guess it is a bit like immune therapy is such a new thing in the way to treat cancer, and they don't know everything about it. They don't know all the sequelae, the side effects. The same thing about the corona vaccines, right? It's a bit of the same thing, you know. But I mean, what do you do? I don't really have a choice. If I hadn't had it, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. So
right.
I just got to take it as it comes, man. I just got to take it as it comes.
Wow, awesome. What a complete warrior. You're a badass. Awesome. As far as this record, Back to Trinity, would you compare it to Make It Count? Do you think it's a continuation, or how is this different?
yes and no. I mean, I write the way I write, but I think since... more of these songs were actually written on guitar this time than piano, and it inspires you in a different way. And I think that this album is a bit heavier, actually, generally.
Yeah.
A little bit heavier than Make It Count.
It is.
But I think it's got still very melodic, you know, and it's still got some great songs. And, you know, to me, whether you write on the piano or on a guitar, you know, if you sit down and you write it and you got the melody right and you try to find the chords and put underneath the melody, or the other way around, when you feel you have a good song, you know you got something good going, you know, then it's a matter of how you want to wrap it up, you know, how you want to produce it and stuff like that. So, but this time it just happened to be, I think, a more heavy album than the two previous ones, I think.
Yeah, it's all awesome to me, you know, as a fan. As far as the title, Trinity, what's behind the title? I mean, I've heard this word in the Bible and stuff like that, religion. Why Trinity?
It's also a little game of words, you know. Because I mean, obviously, it is also about, you know, as you say, the love of God, kind of, you know, of the Trinity, you know. And but it's also a little game of words because it's the third album, you know. It's like a triad of albums, you know. And so, you know. But I mean, if you listen to the lyrics, you obviously get a religious feeling. That's what it's all about. Maybe it also is, but listen to me. Yeah, well, it is. But you know, sometimes it's so hard to me to, you know, sometimes it's really hard to explain lyrics, because when you do them, when you write them, I mean, of course they've got to make sense, but you're in your own little zone, you know, quite a lot of times, so with a half a bottle of red wine or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes, and always, you know, it's not that I'm shit-faced drunk when I write it, you know, but it sometimes it just inspires you a little bit, you know, to freeze your mind, you know. But sometimes it's also like the fact that people can get whatever they want to get out of that song, you know, whatever it means to them from their perspective, you know. So, but I can explain what I think they're about, you know. Well, some are more obvious than others, of course, you know.
Yeah. I first heard of you and Pretty Maids back in the day, Future World. I saw it on MTV, and I just became a fan, and I went on about the cassette, and big fan since, so thank you for the great music over the years.
Thanks a lot.
The question is, how do you maintain your voice after all these years? I mean, you don't sound much different at all since Future World, you know. What's the secret there, secret sauce?
Well, the secret is, I simply do not have a clue, because that's what worried me when I got cancer. Am I able to sing afterwards, you know? But somehow somebody must be watching over me. Well, I never really took specifically care of my voice, because I also lived a pretty hard life when we used to tour when I was younger, you know. So I used to say that 20 cigarettes a day and a gin tonic, you know. But
really?
No, that's bullshit. No, but I mean, I lived there. I never took... Well, I did in later years, you know, but I don't have any... I never took a singing lesson, you know, so I'm a self-made man. And I don't know about the technique I use. I kind of use two techniques, you know, when I sing with a clean voice, and then I sing with a more, you know, raspy voice. That's just the way my voice is, you know, and I think I just got better at using it, you know. But I don't have any special, but you got to take care. Don't talk too much. Get your sleep and stuff like that, you know. But that's... But I'm very bad at sleeping on top of that, you know.
Really?
I don't sleep very well in periods. But yeah, of course, you could, when the older you get, the more you should probably take care of it, you know, get some rest and don't talk too much during the day, maybe. It depends on who you are, because I remember touring in Avitation with Jeff Tate from Greenstrike, who's a great singer, you know, and he was like fucking singing all day, you know. We could sit, have some lunch or something, then he'll suddenly start, doing vocal exercises, you know. I think it's a very individual question, you know. There's so many different opinions of how to preserve your voice from different singers, you know. You know, some people warm up like an hour before they go on stage, you know, and some don't. And I'm one of those who don't. I just say a couple of weird sounds and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Twang sounds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm ready to go, you know.
Are you doing any live?
I guess I'm just fortunate that my pipes are still working.
Yeah, you sound great. Are you doing any live gigs nowadays? Or you got something coming up?
I'm going to do a couple of shows in November, just 5-6 gigs, you know, to check out where I'm at, you know, and then hopefully a lot of shows next year. That's my plan, yeah. I'm going to Japan in February, I think, and then we'll do some festivals and hopefully some more European gigs and stuff like that, you know. Let's see. I've been, you know, in my position, it's a little difficult to plan way too long ahead.
Yeah.
But, again, I take it as it comes, you know. I grab the opportunities I'm given.
Yeah. You just said it right there. It's too far ahead to plan ahead of time, right? But I was going to ask you, how many new songs do you plan to play live?
I think I'll try to cover Trinity pretty well, you know. I mean, it's like for every album you do, the more difficult it gets.
Yeah.
You get more and more. And I have something like, I guess, something like 20 albums under my belt, or more, actually. This is the new album, and I'd like to promote that. And I'll try to play some songs from the other albums, of course, and I'll play some pretty mixed material as well. So try to please as many as possible, but most importantly, also try to please myself.
That must be exciting. I'm a musician here in Texas and local stuff, you know. That's exciting right there. I can imagine trying to make a set list for one of your shows, you know. Picking the songs, you know, picking and choosing.
It's a horror, man. It's a horror. I mean, it's easier than we pretty much, because then we were more people to agree on it and stuff like that, you know. But no, it is really difficult. It is difficult, though. I mean, I've done so, there's so many songs. I mean, it's like 300 songs to pick from. Like,
wow.
250. Song. Yeah, but if you take all the albums, it's something like that, you know. It's something like 250 songs or something, I think. Maybe more, actually. Probably more. But anyway, it's like you gotta, there are certain songs that people expect you to play, you know, and those I'll play. And then it's also fun sometimes to bring up, you know, pick a rabbit up of the hat, you know, and say, oh, people didn't expect that one, you know.
Yeah, B-side.
It's a balance thing, man. It's a balance thing.
Wow, very cool. So which is your favorite song to play live from Pretty Maids?
Oh, from Pretty Maids? I don't know. I think I still enjoy playing Future World, you know, because Future World is, you know, it's I think it's probably the Pretty Maids song.
It's an awesome song, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. It's got a great riff, and that's where we sort of kind of defined what we're all about. It's got great riffs, got some melodic verses and vocals and, you know, the interception between guitars, keyboards, and vocals. I think it pretty much defines what Pretty Maids was all about back then. And it was a very defining song for us, you know. And it's probably one of the most, well, if not the most popular song we ever wrote.
Yeah.
From back in the day, yeah. Absolutely.
For sure.
I still enjoy doing that one, actually. I do.
How about from your solo stuff? Which is your favorite song to play live?
I don't know yet. We just played a couple of gigs last year. I mean, it was only 5 gigs or something like that. I don't know. I think actually the title track, Make It Count, worked fantastic on the last gigs we did last year. Yeah.
Will we see?
I don't know if I have a specific favorite track. I don't know.
There's just too many songs. Yeah, they're all badass. Yeah, the acoustic stuff is badass too. Will we see Pretty Maids on the road anytime? A one-off or maybe something in the future?
Yeah, maybe we just spoke, actually. We've just been laying low for a long time, and we just, me and Kenny just spoke again, so maybe, yeah, I can't confirm to anything, because there is nothing to confirm, but we talked about it, going out, playing a couple of special shows next year, maybe, I mean, time is not really on our side, to be honest, so let's see, if it's got to be pretty soon,
well,
so let's see what happens, you know, if we can agree on stuff, and, you know, then we'll get the right offers and stuff like that, you know.
That'd be great, wow.
Mike's like an old steam train getting it rolling again. Right.
Right. That'd be great for us fans. That'd be awesome footage.
We'll do it for the.
Yeah, that'd be great. I know it's easier said than done, but you know. Anyways, give us an update on Nordic Union. What is that for people that don't know, and what's going on there?
Well, Nordic Union is basically a project that that the record company kind of put together with me and Eclipse singer-songwriter Eric Martinson.
Yeah.
And we just hit it off from the first album, and now we've done three. And the last album last year, Animalistic, was very, very successful, actually. So it's just a studio project for now, anyway. And I don't think it's going to be more than that, you know. But we enjoy working together now and then. And so it's like every maybe second or third year. I think there's been 3 years between the albums or something like that. And it's good fun. I mean, I think we have a very big mutual respect for each other, you know, as songwriters. It's been mainly Eric that's writes the music and the melodies, and sometimes I chip in with some of the lyrics, you know. But on the last album, he wrote the majority anyway, and I have enough to do anyway. So, and he's a songwriting machine, man. I mean, he's got all these projects he's doing, but he's great, and he's a great songwriter, you know, great hooks, great everything, and that's right down my street.
Here's an off-the-wall question, Ronnie. It's a sci-fi question. If you could time travel, if you could travel to the past or the future, where would you travel to and in which year?
Right now, probably you'd travel back to 1952 and assassinate Vladimir Putin.
Wow.
Seriously, I don't know.
That's a new one, yeah.
Without him. Actually, to be honest, I don't know. I mean...
For sure,
that's very good. I think every period has its charm somehow. I guess most of them, you know, maybe not in the right after the war and stuff like that. But I don't know. I mean, you're talking about when I lived in my life.
Whichever sci-fi. It's just a sci-fi question. Whichever year, thousands of years, yeah. Or hundreds, or.
Oh, I can't answer that one.
Yeah, it's too wide of a question.
Takes a lot of thought.
So, will we ever see you guys, or with your solo project in the U.S. or Texas, or maybe Mexico, South America, anywhere in the world?
I don't know. I mean, if the right opportunity pops up, hard to say. I mean, it's not so easy just to tour in America, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta have a working. I just know from Avantasia how complicated it is, and Avantasia is way bigger than I am in America, I guess. So, but Pretty Maids would love to play there. We only played in. These cruises, and we played on this Pro Power in Atlanta, I think it's called, some 10 years ago or something like that, or more actually. So we never really toured them. I recorded the Future World album in America, and the album that came after as well, some of it. And we never really toured America. We were supposed to be on the Whitesnake tour in '87, and we had the chance to do it because back then Future World and Love Games from that album were going on heavy rotation on MTV, you know.
Yeah.
It was the 80s, and it was heavy metal, and it was the main thing, man. But we couldn't, because we already were committed to do a European tour with Deep Purple, you know. But sometimes I'm thinking, what would have happened if we went on that tour, because the band was on fire, you know, we were young, and probably left that tour, went on another tour like you did back then, maybe played some clubs on our own, you know. But that, unfortunately, that never happened.
Wow. Maybe in the future, sometime. Hopefully.
Never say never. Never say never.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm talking about.
Right. So what's next for yourself, Ronnie? What's on your agenda right now? What's coming up?
Another interview in 2 minutes, actually.
Oh, okay. Perfect timing.
It's one of these nights. Yeah. So I got a string of interviews. I like to collect them, actually, on certain nights. You know, otherwise, I can't do anything for the whole night if I have an interview at 9 o'clock or something. You know.
Very cool. Very cool.
I've got
a couple. We'll let you rest real quick. I'll get you a little break there. Thank you for your time, Ronnie.
Take care, man.
A force to be reckoned with, for sure. A great, powerful force, for sure. Hats off once more to Mr. Ronnie Adkins for his great, great strength and power. And anyways, don't forget to pick up his solo album, Trinity, dropping October 13th via Frontiers Music SRL. You cannot miss this. You got to pick it up. They got some badass music out there right now. If you can dream it, you can do it. It's out there. You guys can stream that video. You guys can stream it on Spotify and whichever form of music that you download or stream, right? And also, Trinity's out there. They got a couple of singles out there, so check it out. Anyways, thank you, Ronnie, for making time. And on behalf of your friend James from the third planet of the sun, going in circles around somewhere in the Milky Way. And thank you guys and girls for supporting the podcast, whether it be via YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe if you're on there. Don't forget to ring the bell. And don't forget to check us out on social media. That Metal Interview, THAT, right? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, That Metal Interview. Thank you guys and girls. And once again, don't forget to keep it metal. That Metal Interview.